Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you with power in the Word, and you know that there is power in the Word of God. I'm excited today because today we're going to be talking about relationships, and I am looking forward to hearing from you. The dial-in number, remember, is 646-652-4832. This show is going to go for one half of an hour, and we want to make sure that you get your relationship questions answered. As you know, I am a woman of God, and I believe in the power that is in the Word of God, and I believe in the power of prayer. So let us go before the Lord and pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We thank you for this opportunity to come together here and talk together about relationships, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you answer all of our relationship questions, Father God, pertaining to love, life, romance, marriage, and dating. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you have your way. Father God, have your way on this call. And even someone who may have questions pertaining to a relationship between themselves and a family member or an extended family member or even employer-employee relationships, Father God, all kinds of relationships, especially our relationship with you, Lord, are welcome to be talked about on this particular show. And we just ask for your blessing, Father God, as we go forward, that you will be in our presence, Father God. You said, with two or more gathered in your name, you two shall be in the midst. So we ask for your presence, and we ask, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Use me for your glory here on Power in the Word today. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and worthy to be praised. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you again with Power in the Word. And today's segment is Let's Talk About Relationships. Let us talk about our relationships. What is going on? What in the world is going on when there are so many marriages ending in divorce? And most of those marriages, believe it or not, are in the church, people who declare that they are Christians. Why are Christians getting divorced? That is my first question. I want to know, why are Christians getting divorced? My husband and I, we used to teach a premarital counseling class. And one of the things that we said at every class, one of the declarations that we made, is that divorce is not an option. And when we get married, especially people of God, people who have God in their lives and Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when we get married, we have to have a knowing within our heart. We have to have a resolution within our hearts that divorce is not an option. And my husband and I have been married for over 10 years. But that was one of the things that we declared. We declared that we would be married forever until death do us part. Because after all, those were the vows that we made, until death do us part. And let me tell you that the early years of my marriage were not easy ones. There were times when I wanted to bail out. I wanted to quit. There were actually times when I kicked my husband out. I said, get out, and don't you ever, ever come back, ever. And the greatest thing that God did for me is that he did not let that man leave. My husband refused to leave. And one day he broke down and he said, baby, when you do that to me, when you tell me to get out like that, then you're tearing me down. You're tearing me down. Something breaks on the inside of me. You're tearing down my manhood. And it was at that time that I had a flashback, and I said, you know what? I don't want to be like my mother, and I love my mother. God bless my mother. She is a woman of God. But there were times in her relationship with my father, when I heard her saying those very words, get out and don't ever come back, I can do bad by myself. And I was repeating that behavior. And I said to myself on that day when I had my husband blocked in against the wall in the pantry, I even had him in the pantry, and I said on that day that I would never do that again. I would never emasculate my husband like that again. And to tell you the truth right now, and I very seldom lie. I try not to lie. Every once in a while, I get myself caught up in a little white lie, and I have to repent profusely because it hurts my spirit to lie, because I'm not sinning against the person that I'm lying to, but I'm sinning against the Lord. But I'm telling you the truth when I say that I have never done that again. I have never kicked my husband out or tried to kick him out of my life again, and I never will, because I love him, and I looked at him and the man that the Lord has sent to me, this man of God, and I said, I don't want him to leave. I don't want to live my life without him. This is the man that I married, and I want to grow old with him and serve the Lord with him and have his baby and be his wife forever. I don't want him to leave. And I had to correct myself. I really had to check myself and not do this to him anymore. So divorce is not an option. And since we're going to be married forever, we might as well be happy. That was another thing that I told myself. Since we're going to be married forever, we might as well be happy. So I want to know, what do you think is going on in the church that we're having so many divorces? What is going on in the world? Let's not even talk about the church, but what is going on in the world that we're having so many divorces in the world? And what is going on in our relationships? Why are so many men in relationship with people that are not worthy of the time that they're getting from these people? Why do we spend our time with people who are not worthy of our time? And when I say that, I don't say that to put down any particular person. I say that to ask the question and to just really get you to thinking, if you're in a relationship with someone and you're not married yet. Really, I want to get you to thinking about this. What are you doing with that person? Especially if you are in a relationship with someone who is abusive. Now, abuse can carry across many different areas. Someone can be abusive to the point where they are hitting you, going up beside your head. You can be in an abusive relationship with someone who is verbally abusive, someone who wants to cut you down with words every single chance that they get. You can be in an abusive relationship with someone who will deprive you of affection intentionally, because they know that that is a way to hurt you. Or you can be in an abusive relationship with someone who is in adulterous affairs, and they are out there in adulterous relationships cheating on you, and you are not the only one, and they are making no bones about the fact that you are not the only one. And I'll stop right here, because I was in a relationship before I got married with this man, and I loved him. I loved the idea of him. Have you ever been in love to the fact that you just love the idea of somebody? So I loved the very idea of this man. He was Nigerian. He was mysterious. He was had a very attractive accent. He was rich in monetary value, and he was obstinate, stuck in his ways, amen. And this man made it a point to me that he was not interested in a committed relationship. He told me in no uncertain terms that he did not know how to commit. He was not willing to commit, and that he would always have female friends that would be very intimate with him. And I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. This was the one that I was determined to change. Amen. Have you ever gone into a relationship with a person that you knew that you were going to be the one that could change his ways, or you were going to be the one that could change her ways? And this was the one that I knew that I could change. I was going to change his thinking. I was going to make him love me. I'm going to make him love me. I mean, give me a break. So many of us go into relationships with that mindset. I'm going to make him love me. I'm going to make her love me. We go into relationships with people who are known homosexuals. I remember back in the day when I was in my 20s, and women would get into relationships with men that were known to be gay, but the women would say, I'm going to make him straight. I'm going to be the woman to turn him straight. And it's deception. We're being deceived when we're in relationship with people who are not interested in being in committed relationships with us or are not the right fit for us or not eligible for us. And we are in relationship with these people trying to make them into what we need them to be when actually we need to be cutting ourselves off from these relationships so that we can open up the door for the real thing. Amen. Amen. We're taking the Ishmael blessing when we should really be holding out for the Isaac blessing. Amen. And if you don't know the story, it's Abraham and Sarah when they were expecting a child and they could not get pregnant. So they went ahead and got the maidservant to have the baby, and she had Ishmael when God really had Isaac coming through Abraham's wife's womb. Amen. And we have to get this. We have to get to the point where we are not settling for less, or we're not putting our hands in the pot trying to make our own stew. Amen. Trying to make things into what we need them to be. See, a lot of our relationships fail, and a lot of our marriages fail. We end up being unhappy in our homes, in our relationships, because we are with the wrong person, and we knew that they were the wrong person before we got with them. But we decided that we were going to go straight ahead, full speed ahead, and make out of this relationship that was doomed from the start what we needed to be. And what's happening here is that we have created our own hard bed, and now we have to lie in it. If we're married, we have to go ahead and lie in that bed and pray and ask God to turn this thing around so that this marriage can work, even though we married the wrong person or even though we married someone that we knew we should not have married because they were not able to give us what we wanted when we were dating. And that's the question that I have for you. Why do we marry people that really did not honor us while we were dating? You know, so often we marry, a woman will marry a man who was already cheating when she was dating. And for some reason, we think that he's going to change his ways once we marry him. Let me just say it like this. A zebra very rarely changes his stripes. Amen. Unless he is born again, then he becomes a new creation. Amen. But if you're already Christian and you marry a Christian man who has some bad habits when it comes to women, and he's a big flirt, and he's not able to be faithful, and you've caught him with phone numbers in his pocket, and he has too many female friends, then guess what? Chances are what you get is what you see. Amen. And what you see is what you get, amen. And what you have gotten is what you had in the first place. So we need to stop trying to change the people that we marry after we marry them. And we need to just really pray and hold out for what God has in store for us. So relationships, we're talking about relationships today. It could be a love relationship, a relationship with your husband, because, you know, when we marry these men, we need to still continue to be in relationship with them. And men get a bad rap. They really get a bad rap because women, we marry our husbands, and I said this on the board that I'm on with Rise. I moderate a board, Christian Women of Power, and it's about getting results, this particular board that I moderate, that we want to get results in our lives because we're supposed to be living the abundant life. So there was a question that came up pertaining to marriage and how we can better treat our husbands without coming down on them and talking down to them. Because we as women, we have sharp tongues, and you know that in the tongue lies the power of life and death. But we will use our mouths to tear down the men in our lives. And all these men want to do is love us. And they're trying to love us, amen, with everything that's in them. They're trying to love us. Yet they fall short. And guess what? They will always fall short of our expectations, especially if we are expecting them to answer every single problem that we have in our lives, to be the cure-all for every single issue that we have in our lives. We have to stop putting so much responsibility on the people that we're in relationship with and start trusting God for the things that we need, the essential things, the necessities that we have in our lives, like joy and peace. Those things don't come from the person that you're in relationship with. You're not going to get joy from a man or a woman that you're in relationship with until you get the joy that's to be received from the Lord. In other words, there's a void on the inside of each and every person that can only be filled by God. So if we're looking to another person to validate us or to give us joy or to give us peace or to give us solutions to our problems, we're already headed down the wrong track. And that's what I had to learn. Listen to me. I don't minister anything that I have not lived, okay? So if I'm on here talking about relationships and trying to tell you how to have a good relationship, not trying to tell you, but I'm telling you how to have a good relationship, if I'm doing that, it's because I've lived something. I have lived through so many failed relationships that I don't even want to count them. I don't even want to count them. As a Christian, hallelujah, as a born-again Christian, I've only had one, amen, praise God, and that is my husband. But before I got saved, I was changing men every 2 years from my 20s until my 30s, amen. So, you know, that's already five. So you have to know that I was on the wrong track because I was looking for solutions to my issues in all of the wrong places. I was looking for a man who could be a cure-all, be-all, do-all type of guy. And ladies, there's no such creature out there. There is no man out there that can cure all of your problems, do all that you need him to do, and be all that you need him to be. There is no man out there. Trust in God. Do not put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. Trust God that he's going to bring the right person into your life. Trust God. And you too, men, don't put your trust in women. Put your trust in God. Trust God that he's going to bring the right person into your life. Trust God that he's going to let you know that this is the right person. Trust God that this person is not going to hurt you to the point that you will totally feel like dying or feel like going under. Trust God that if this person does decide that he wants or she wants to be a moron and walk out on you, that God has something better for you. Amen. Praise God. I get happy when I say that because so many of us feel like we're stuck. We feel like we are stuck being with people who cannot appreciate us for who we are and who God has called us to be. And I want you to know right now in the name of Jesus that you are not stuck. If someone is abusive, if you are being abused, you are not stuck and it is not your fault. People will say, see what you made me do, you made me hit you. See what you made me do, you made me cheat on you. See what you made me do, you made me curse you out. And the devil is a liar because each person has to be responsible for their own stuff. Give it back. Give it back. Don't carry your husband's stuff. Don't carry your wife's stuff. Don't carry somebody else's baggage. Don't carry someone else's issues. Give it back to them and let them carry their own stuff. Let them be responsible for their own actions. Because guess what? You're not going to stand before God on their behalf. God is not going to be asking you about Joe Smo when you're standing up before him on the judgment seat, on the judgment day. He is not going to ask you, what did you do about Joe's issues, or what did you do about Joni's issues. He's going to ask you, what did you do about your issues when I showed you your issues in my word? Because the book of James talks about the word being a mirror, that when we look intently into the word of God, we should be able to see our issues, and then we should be able to go back and address those issues. He said, don't go back and turn away from looking into the mirror of the word and forget what you saw, but go back and fix those things that you saw that were out of whack, those things that you saw that were off kilter, those things that you saw that needed to be fixed. Amen. Let yourself be fixed. Don't go through life broken, busted, and disgusted. Don't go through life crippled, but let God fix you. And the part of the fixing is to be found in the word of God. Amen and praise God. We have 10 more minutes before the end of the show. I want to encourage you again to call in. The number is 646-652-4832. I want to talk to you. Yes, you. I want to talk to you and hear your comments. And if you're a little shy, I'm praying that I'll be able to open up my message board soon. I have to figure out how to do that. But once I do that, I'll be able to get your instant messages, and I'll be able to address you that way. But if you're having problems calling in, then I want you to email me at powerintheword1@yahoo.com and let me know that you wanted to call, that you really tried to get through, but for some reason you were not able to call in. But I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you about these relationships. Why are we getting divorced? And we're Christians, and God hates divorce. And that's not to put anyone under condemnation, because guess what? I was divorced. Before I married my husband, I had gone through a divorce already, and I almost felt guilty. I almost felt that I could not be blessed in my marriage. But guess what? God is not a God of confusion. Amen. There is definitely explanation in the Word of God, and there's more detail in the Word of God as to what divorce actually is and why God put down the mandate for the woman to be given a writ of divorce, and why Jesus talked about the fact that God hates divorce. He hates the fact that men are just walking away from their wives, that men are walking away from their wives. And guess what? It was going on in the days when Jesus walked the earth, and guess what? Now it is still going on. Men are still walking away from their wives. I tell you, what is going on? What is going on where a man can walk away from a woman with three small children? Or a man can walk away from a woman that he spent 30 years with, and this woman worked like a dog to put him through college? What is going on when a woman can walk away from two small children? What is going on when a woman can just get up and decide that she wants a younger man, after this man has given his whole life to making her happy? What is going on in our relationships? What I can share with you, and what I will share with you, is that it is God's desire that we have the abundant life, even in the area of our relationships. And God has put it out there in his word as to how we can have godly marriages. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 21, it talks about mutual submission. And we have to know how to submit one to another. It goes on in verse 22 to talk about wives submitting to your husbands and husbands loving your wives. And it really wraps up and talks about us really walking and serving one another, amen, in the Lord. And we have to know how to do that. It's about love and respect. A woman needs love, and a man needs respect. If you don't remember anything else that I say to you on this show today, remember, a woman needs love, and a man needs respect. If a woman respects the man will love her. And if the man loves the woman like she needs to be loved, that woman will respect that man. Amen. It really works. God's word really does work. And there is power in the word of God. And finally, what I want to say to you about how to have victory in your relationship is to have victory in every area of your life by obeying God. Obey the word of God. Know the word of God. Read the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Know the word for yourself. There is so much power in the word of God, in the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. There is power in the word of God. I love the word. I live by the word. I eat that word. It is my living bread. It is my daily bread. It is my living waters. It is my daily water. Because Jesus Christ is all wrapped up in the word. He told the Jews, he said, you believe Moses, but you don't believe me. You search the scriptures looking for wisdom, looking for insight, yet you can't truly receive what the scriptures have because all of the scriptures were written about me. It all leads to Christ, and Christ is the wisdom from God. And when we get this, and we receive that word and we delight ourselves in that word, we can have victory in our relationships. We can have victory in our marriages. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that if we meditate on the word of the Lord and delight ourselves in it, as we meditated on it day and night, that we will be like that tree planted by streams of living water. And everything that we do will prosper. Amen. Did you hear me? I said everything. Everything that you do will prosper as you meditate on the word of God that's to be contained within the Bible. You don't need anything else. All you need is the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God in your life. Amen. And to meditate on that word and to do like James said, when that word shows you something in yourself and that stuff is stinking, then you go ahead and clean it up and let God fix it for you. Amen. God wants you to get rid of every stinking negative habit that you have in your life so that he can bless you with something wonderful, pure, and with a nice fragrance to it. God wants to give you a bed of roses. He wants your life to be a bed of roses, amen, so that you can be blessed and highly favored of the Lord, amen, and walking in the manifestation of those blessings. There are no two ways about it. God does have a marvelous plan for your life, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope for your future. And you'll hear me quote that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. You'll hear me quote it often because it was the thing, that was scripture, was the thing that gave me hope, amen, for my future, amen, to say that things early in my marriage were not going the way that I needed them to go, but God said, I have a better plan. And when I heard that, when I got that, when I read that and began to meditate on that, my life began to change and my marriage began to change because as I obeyed God, after that word showed me my stinking self, my stinking, ugly self. I was, oh, God, stinking thinking, stinking attitude, stinking behavior, stinking expression on my face. After that word showed me myself, lo and behold, I began to clean up my act. Amen. I humbled myself under the hand of God and said, God, fix this marriage. I'm going to be happy because I'm going to be married forever. I do not want to be married and miserable. I want to be married and happy, married and praising God. Hallelujah. And let me tell you that now it's been 10 years, and for the last few years, I can tell you it's been bliss. It has been bliss. Oh, yes, I had 7 years of hard times. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking about God right now because 7 is the number of completion. But it was 7 years of hard times. But when 8 came in, it was a new beginning. It was a new day. Hallelujah and praise God. And we are walking in the blessings of the Lord and the abundant life in the area of our relationship with each other. We are walking in the abundance as far as our relationship with God. Amen. And that comes first because when you can love on God, like you need to love on him with all of your heart, your mind, your strength, and your soul, everything else falls into place. Amen. And we are walking in the abundant life in the area of our marriage. Amen. Praise God. So that's it for today's show. I just want to encourage you to just walk in the abundant life in the area of your relationship. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember, my brother, remember, my sister, that God loves you, and so do we here at NCCM Radio, at Power in the Word, here on Block Talk Radio. Peace.